Welcome to Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, teaching you how to manage your mind so that you can create relationships you love. And now, here's your host, certified relationship coach and expert in all things love, friendship, and mind drama, Rebecca Orr.
Hi guys, how is everyone doing? I had an amazing week last week celebrating my fiance's 30th birthday and we did so much fun stuff. It was so good. She's such a big kid. So we did some extreme sliding experience and this ninja assault course in Wales, which was fun. And we did a roller coaster through a forest and this underground cave trampolining experience. It was very full on, but it was also so much fun. So I had a really great time last week doing that. And so this week I'm back to my usual routine of client sessions and creating content. And I actually had the last session of the current round of my group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama, which was amazing. And it was just so great to see how much people are taken away from the program, all the shifts and changes they've been able to make in their own relationships, and just really celebrate themselves and celebrate all the work they'd put into creating these results. And I'm excited because in a few weeks' time, the doors are going to open again for the group coaching program. So the next round will be starting in September. So the doors are going to open kind of mid-August. But I'll tell you a little bit more about that at the end of this episode. But on to the topic for this week, which is a really juicy topic and one that I'm sure a lot of people will relate to. And that's the idea of when you're trying to get something from someone who is just not able to give it to you. Maybe you're trying to get more affection from a partner who just isn't very affectionate. Or you're trying to get more commitment from someone who just wants to be single and go out with their friends. Or you're trying to get support or praise from a parent who is just never going to provide that to you organically. And I've heard different coaches describe this idea in different ways. One of my favorite teachers, Cara Lowenthal, describes it as like you're going to Copenhagen for croissants instead of Paris. Or I've heard someone else say it's like you're trying to get orange juice from a cow. I like that one as well. So there's a lot of different analogies and metaphors for describing this pattern. But the one I always imagine is trying to buy an iPhone from McDonald's. So when you're going to somebody wanting them to change and be different and give something to you that they just aren't able to give to you, it's kind of like going into McDonald's and asking for an iPhone. They don't sell iPhones. McDonald's, no matter how much you nag them, ask them, try and manipulate them, remind them, try to convince them, they are never going to sell you an iPhone. If someone's listening to this in the future and McDonald's has actually now released its own line of iPhones, then this metaphor is going to go completely down the drain. But for now it stands. So when what you're wanting is an iPhone and you're trying to get it from a McDonald's, you're in the wrong store. You're wasting your time. Just like when you're trying to get a certain behavior or a kind of interaction or a kind of relationship out of someone who isn't willing or able to give that to you, you're also wasting your time and you're likely getting very frustrated. And I've seen this with a few of my one-on-one clients and also a few people that have been in my previous rounds of group coaching. And one particular client I'm thinking of wanted a committed relationship with someone who she could see multiple times a week and who wanted to get to know her friends and family and who wanted to introduce her to theirs. And she wanted someone she could look forward to and plan a future with. And she was dating a guy who had told her he didn't want anything serious right now. And the way he kind of acted was he would kind of cancel plans last minute. He didn't ask to rearrange them. He didn't want to see her more than once every couple of weeks. His schedule, he said, was too busy. And she was so frustrated and anxious about this situation. She really wanted to get this guy to be something he wasn't and want something he clearly didn't want. She wanted McDonald's to sell her an iPhone. So why do we do this to ourselves? Well, there's two main reasons. One is our primitive brain's wiring. So the primitive brain, which is the oldest part of the brain, was around back in the caveman days, when we all lived in small tribes and were constantly trying to keep ourselves alive. And if we had been rejected by our tribe, we would have been likely to die of starvation or be killed by predators. Meaning that the humans that survived and went through evolution and passed their genes down to us were the ones with primitive brains that remembered the dire consequences of rejection. So this is why, to the primitive part of our brains, rejection is deadly. And it explains why, as humans, we have an almost fight or flight response to the idea of being rejected. It's inbuilt into our brain's makeup to fear rejection from the group or the tribe, because once upon a time, it really was a threat to our survival. And on top of that, most of us have also developed beliefs that being rejected by somebody means that we're not good enough in some way. We're constantly trying to measure our enoughness and okayness in the world by comparing where we sit to other humans and to make sure that we're doing it right in comparison to how they're doing it. If anyone can hear a little bell, my cat is sat on a chair behind me and she's decided that now is a great time to start giving herself a little wash. So she is, her bell is going crazy. Anyway, and so we interpret rejection from others as a sign that we are flawed or bad or not enough in some way. And so the combination of these two things means that we as humans are highly sensitive to and afraid of rejection. We are wired to fear it and take it extremely personally. So when we perceive something to be a rejection, we often make it mean something about us as people. So when someone doesn't want to be in a committed relationship with us or show us the affection that we want or want to have long talks about emotions in the way that we do, we perceive that as a rejection. That's how we interpret it, that we are being rejected, and we make it mean something bad about ourselves. And so then naturally our instinct is to want to change the situation and convince the person into wanting the thing we want or change their behavior towards us. Think about it. If someone not wanting the kind of relationship that you want is a sign of how unlovable or not enough you are, it makes sense you'd want to try and convince them to want it so that you can believe you're lovable and good enough again. Or if you make your dad never asking about your life or your job mean that you're not successful enough, it makes sense that you're going to keep trying to change him and make those conversations happen so that you can stop feeling that way. And so that you can finally feel successful and good enough. So, as always, the issue comes down to our thoughts about ourselves and what we make other people's behavior mean about us. And because we're always interpreting people's behavior as a reflection of our own worth and value, we can end up getting really angry and resentful towards them for how they choose to behave. And one of my past clients from my group coaching program had a partner who had openly said he didn't want marriage or children. But because her brain subconsciously took that as a rejection of her, of course, she naturally clung tighter to the relationship, subconsciously believing that if she could get him to change his mind, she could then feel loved and good enough again, like she was somehow then worthy enough for him to want to marry her. And she felt so resentful and angry at him for not wanting to marry her. And the resentment came from her believing that him just being him and wanting what he naturally wanted was a rejection of her in some way and meant that she wasn't good enough. And while she was blaming him for why she felt so terrible, of course she was going to resent him. But the problem wasn't that he didn't want to marry her. The problem was that she made that mean she wasn't good enough. That was the real source of her pain. Without that story, without that narrative and interpretation of what that meant, there would just have been two humans that wanted two different things and who could move forward with people who wanted the same things as them. You never need to be angry or resentful towards someone for not being who you want them to be. And I'm going to repeat that because it's really important. You never need to be angry or resentful towards someone for not being who you want them to be. The only reason you'd feel that way is if you are making them being who they are mean something about you or be an attack on you or a rejection of you in some way. When in reality, they're just a human being with their own complex human brain living their own life. It's so easy to make other people's behavior and preferences mean something about us. But let me tell you now, it never is anything to do with us. Even if they tell you that you are not their type. That seems very personal, doesn't it? But it still actually is not a reflection of you or your inherent attractiveness or enoughness. It's a reflection of their preferences. They may prefer someone who looks totally different to you, or dresses totally differently, or who has a different body type to you. While to somebody else, you could be their dream type, exactly the way you are. Other people's behavior is always a result of their own brain, which is something you have no control over. Think about the parent who doesn't show interest in their child's career. That is not a reflection of the child's career being either good or bad or interesting or not interesting. It's a reflection of the brain of the parent, how they're wired to think, the patterns created in their mind, probably modeled to them from their own upbringing, their own earliest experiences. And you can actually accept that this person is the way they are and wants the things they want and behaves in the way they behave without making it mean anything about you. So I used to do this with friends, and you've probably heard people talk about the dynamics between anxious and avoidant people, where the more one pulls away, the more the other wants to chase. And this concept that we're talking about in this episode is really evident there. And I used to do this with friends. So I'd have a group of friends, all who wanted to text me and hang out with me and catch up with me. And then there'd be one person in my life who didn't seem to want to text me back as often as I wanted to text them or make plans with me. And that is who my brain really focused on. That's the person I obsessed over. And my brain just wanted them to start texting me more or make plans with me more so, so badly because, I made them not doing that mean I wasn't likable. So I needed to win them over to feel better about myself. I thought I needed to change them to make them text me more so that I could finally believe I was likable. When in reality, I was trying to buy an iPhone from a McDonald's. I was trying to get a kind of friendship out of someone who was not able and willing to give me that kind of friendship, the kind of friendship I was looking for. And when we're so busy trying to change people and make them be someone that they're not or act in ways that they don't, we're actually resisting the reality of them. The reality of them, which is exactly the way it's supposed to be, simply because it's the way it is. And we're actually distracting ourselves with a fantasy version of them that we've decided and completely made up that this is who they were supposed to be instead, which isn't who they really are. Plus, we're actually missing out on the relationship we could be enjoying with them. And of course, if we want a committed relationship with someone who doesn't want that, or there's some other kind of deal breaker, sure, you may decide that you just don't want to have any kind of relationship with this person, that they're just not a match for what you're looking for, and that's okay. But going back to the example with friendships, in the past, I've so badly wanted to make certain friends of mine text me more and keep in touch more often, because I believed them not doing that meant something terrible about me. But once I stopped doing that, I could actually enjoy the friendship at the level that they were able to offer me. I was able to love them as friends I see every so often, who I don't text all the time, but who are still people I love and care about and can have loads of fun with. When you're believing McDonald's should be selling you an iPhone, you miss out on enjoying the delicious product that it does offer. Such a strange metaphor, I know, but it's true. And you get to just enjoy what McDonald's offers you for exactly what it is, and you can then go to the Apple store, which is happy to sell you an iPhone, just like I can go to other friends who are happy to have great text conversations and regular meetups and catch-ups with me. So if right now you feel like you're banging your head against a wall trying to get someone to change their behavior, trying to get them to be something or someone that they're not, I want you to ask yourself, am I trying to get something from this person that they're not able or available to offer me? Am I trying to buy an iPhone from McDonald's? And then ask yourself, why am I doing that? If this isn't something they can offer, Why is it so important to me that they do? What am I making them not offering it to me mean about me? What am I believing I'd finally get to feel about myself if they did offer this to me or were available to give it to me? That is where your work lies, my friends. Being able to challenge those thoughts and believe the thoughts you want to have about yourself, regardless of how the other humans think, feel, or act. If your partner wants to be someone who's best friends with their ex, and you want a partner who isn't best friends with their ex, that's okay. You don't need to change them. You don't need to make their desire mean you're not good enough or be a rejection of you. You don't need to be frustrated and mad at them. You can just decide to love and accept them as they are and stay, or choose to accept them and leave and go and find someone else who isn't best friends with their ex. If your partner isn't into talking about their feelings and you really want a partner that is, that's okay. Again, you don't need to be mad at them or resent them. You don't need to tell yourself the story of how if they really loved you, they'd be the way you wanted them to be and how this is a reflection of you and whether you're good enough. You don't need to spend every day trying to convince them to open up more. You can just decide to love and accept this person and enjoy a relationship with them exactly for who they are, or decide you'd prefer someone who was more open about their feelings and choose to go and find that person. When we stop making people's preferences and behaviors mean something about us, deciding which humans we want to continue pursuing relationships with becomes a hell of a lot simpler. We just get to decide what we're looking for and find people who have that to offer and want to offer it to us. Just like if we're shopping for an iPhone, we want to go to a store that sells iPhones and has plenty of iPhones they would love to sell to us. I love this concept and I hope it blew your mind a little bit and maybe made you think about where you may be trying to convince someone to be something that they're just not. If so, consider why that is. And in what ways your brain is making their behavior mean something about you. Okay, guys, that's all I've got for you today. I hope this was helpful. Can I ask you to do a little something for me? Could you go ahead and give this podcast a rating on whatever platform you're listening from? This is how I can keep reaching more people and spreading the word of this work. And maybe you could also go and share it with a friend who you think would really enjoy it. And finally, if you're listening to this and really resonating with the way I talk about relationships and mind management, I think you'd really love my 12-week group coaching program, Master Your Relationship Mind Drama. So this is where we dig into all the tools and concepts that I talk about on this podcast and on my Instagram, but on a much deeper level. And I teach you how to manage your mind and emotional experience in all kinds of relationships and situations without trying to control and micromanage anyone around you or trying to control the future. If you think it may be for you, it's not going to be launching until September, but you will want to go and get yourself on the waitlist just to make sure you don't miss out on any information and so that you can make sure you're the first to grab the 24-hour discount that's offered when doors first open. So head to the information section of this episode and I'll drop the link in there so you can get on the waitlist, and I'll also put a link with the details all about the program. But if you have any other questions, be sure to come and find me on Instagram at Rebecca or Coaching and fire away. I'll be happy to answer all of the questions you have. Okay, guys, I hope you all have an amazing weekend and I'll speak to you all next week. Bye.
If you're loving this podcast, you can also hang out with Rebecca on Instagram and TikTok at Rebecca or Coaching. Don't forget to sign up to her email list for exclusive freebies and for more information on her one-to-one and group coaching programs.